we will go ahead and call the Monday, September 20th, 2021 work session meeting to order. First on the docket is an update on police matters effective October 1st. Chief McDermott?
Okay. Let me give everyone a seat.
I was going to say, I can sit over here if that makes it easier for you.
So, we've talked in the last 2 months about all the different changes that happened with the last General Assembly session. So, the first things that we have to deal with is the bills that kick in October 1. And what that does specifically is it creates a state oversight board, if you will, an investigative body that's supposed to be an independent investigative body of the Attorney General's office. And it's been created, there's been discussions with the Maryland chiefs and the Attorney General's office on protocols and what that's going to look like. Essentially, the new law requires a change in definition for use of force. And part of this change also requires the Attorney General's office to conduct reviews and investigations of any law enforcement-related deaths that are created. So if you are in a car chase and the vehicle wrecks and the person in the vehicle dies, that would be something investigated by the Attorney General's office. If we are involved in an incident that results in a death or a probable death of an individual, that would be investigated by the Attorney General's office and this independent arm. I contrast that with what happens today. If the incident happened today, the protocols require us to decide how best to proceed with an investigation of our own activities and whether I would turn that over to ask the state police to help and assist us with that, make sure that we hadn't done anything wrong based on our policies and our understanding of what our officer did or failed to do. Well, now that's no longer in the purview of the chief of police or the local government. And I think that's one of the things I wanted to stress to you the most is, and because you're going to be asked in the coming session about a lot of the things that's an overreach, they either pushed things to the state or they pushed things to the county. And they overlooked everything at the municipal level. So they've essentially taken away the authority of the mayor, the council, the chief of police, to provide the kind of oversight that we always traditionally have of ourselves, of the people that work for us, and they've taken that on themselves. So now what they will do is they will come in, take over an investigation of that sort and that nature, and then they report not to us. So there's a final report that's uttered to on behalf of the investigation, and that the utterance of that report is to the local state's attorney's office. And it's sealed. It's not something they share with us. And, you know, normally if, for instance, a mayor and council would want to know, you know, well, what are our liabilities and is this going to be a problem for us? And if this is our employee, what kind of action do we want to take or not want to take in this case? In this case, I just want you to know, we won't be privy to that. The only way we would be privy to that is if the local state's attorney decides that he wants to share that document with us. So we won't really know what the findings are on an investigation of our own staff until it's adjudicated. Now, they render two findings. They'll either tell you that it's something that they need to be charged with criminally, that they did something criminally wrong, or that they may have violated policy based upon our administrative policies that are here. And then they would recommend that back to us for us to take that forward and deal with it through the county charging bureaus that they've created, this charging committee and such. So the process is no longer going to rest with the town to decide, you know, what we do, our own fate, or if you will, even our own decision about how to look at this or what to do with the staff that we have. And that takes effect October 1. So there are protocols that we've negotiated with the AG's office because none of this is etched in stone. It's all new and flying by the seat of your pants. In a lot of ways. It dictates, for instance, what kind of press conference you can have. You can imagine if we had an incident, the need that we have as a community, as a mayor and a council, as a chief of police, to at least comment on actions of our staff so that we look like we're competent and that we're understanding what's going on. They're even trying to restrict that kind of access. They really don't want us involved at all in this process. Now, they can't dictate all these things to us, but the protocols that the AG's office has laid out are fairly clear about what you can and what you can't say and this sort of thing. So it is not very favorable for us as far as being open or being what you might consider transparent about government, because, of course, they want to have everything tight so they can deal with their own investigation. There's really no immediate time frame on this, so these things can drag out for quite some time. And you can see where, you know, time is not on our side when it comes to getting information out and making the public comfortable with our actions or what we did or didn't do. That's going to be a little bit more of a challenge for us. They didn't say we couldn't do certain things, and I assure you that we'll be, you know, we would be pressing the envelope to make sure that we take care of ourselves. But they've taken away a lot of that that oversight from us directly, and it's something that we're going to be subject to going forward. Our protocols will reflect what has to happen in the event that you have an incident, so that our rules and regulations dictate, you know, when this happens, we have to call these people, we have to do certain things, and there's a lot of things that we're no longer going to be able to necessarily do because we won't have control over it. We'll still have control over whatever the original investigation was as far as other issues that may have sprung out of that. It's just that the actual investigation into a death or a probable death of an individual, that's going to be handled by the Attorney General and not by the arm of local government. And that includes the sheriff's office, people, anybody in the state is going to fall under this. And that includes the large municipalities, and the large county bodies. They're all going to fall under the same, you know, type of scrutiny from the AG's office. They've created this form, and what they've done is they've made it an arm, if you will, of the state police. So they've given a lot of state police assets to the AG to operate for him as investigators, as they've created it. And I'm sure I noticed that they're advertising for a lot of deputy AGs and things like this, because you can imagine this is a very rare occurrence on the shore. But on the western shore, this is an occurrence that happens, you know, frequently. And they have to deal with that. And each one of them is separate, each one of them is independent, and they've never had to do this before. So everybody's kind of on this learning curve trying to accommodate what the General Assembly set out. None of it is a funded mandate. And there's a lot of these unfunded mandates that are going to be rolling our way. And I was talking with the town administrator about the other day about the cost just simply for us to do an investigation, to submit findings and things, and then to pay for a review board if a trial board is requested by one of our staff because they don't like what the county decided through their board, and we have to go through all that. We have to pay for that. So you have to pay for the administrative law judge. You have to pay for all of the administration that occurs, all the paperwork, all the rulings, all of that that goes on, stenographers, things like this that happen at a regular type of procedural trial. And then on the Western Shore, those generally run somewhere between $8,000 and $15,000 each, just paying for that. Because you can imagine what that's like in arbitration. So these are things that local government, in this next session, I will keep you posted on things that you can weigh in on or that we hope that you will weigh in on. But you really are going to have to examine this carefully and hopefully get back some of that power that you should have as a local body to control, you know, what happens at this level, as opposed to it. Because right now, we will have no control whatsoever. It will all be the county government that decides what happens, who gets appointed to boards. Our mayor, our council have no input on who gets to serve on these boards that oversee, you know, these process. So it's going to be really, really imperative. MML was relatively silent on it during the last session, and that's because there's division there. There's people that want to see these types of changes happen, and so there was no agreement and no concurrence. And I think what you have to do is accept that they did make the change, but now you want to have more input, and I think that's going to be imperative as we look at this. And I think as MML gets a little bit more under their feet and starts seeing this, they'll make some recommendations that you can pay attention to. And I'll help you any way that I can, mitigating it or trying to understand, you know, what's going to be required of that. And I hope we can get some of those changes, because the bulk of it doesn't take effect until July 1. So there's still a chance to have a real impact on it, you know, going forward.
I have just one question.
Sure.
If an officer is under investigation, what happens? What's his status? Can he still continue to work? Is he... how does that impact you? I mean, are you down a couple of officers?
Yeah, because you could technically, if you have more than one officer involved, you know, you could have two people on a administrative leave status or suspended status. The new law says that we can't suspend anybody for more than 30 days without pay. Normally, if you have an officer that's involved in something that you anticipate that you are probably going to terminate them because it was an illegal act or you believe it to be that way, you could suspend without pay, and then you have your finding, and then you deal with it. The way it is now is the most we can suspend somebody without pay is 30 days. These investigations, just the autopsy results on some of these cases can take 6 to 9 months to get back. And if you've got a question, we talked about this as chiefs, and the kind of consensus that we had was, if we have an officer involved in something that we know that it's going to be cleared or should be cleared because all the, you know, we have body cam footage, we have these things, and it's clearly indicating that there's not really any culpability on our part, we want that guy to get back to work as quickly as possible. They're finding that these officers that are languishing for months at a time because of these types of investigations, they're all retiring because of the pressure. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, you know what, I'm done. And they're exonerated, but they're just, their families can't take it. Nobody can take it. So they're saying 30 days is the max you ever want somebody out in a related incident like this. If all things being equal, they were in the right. They did what you hired them to do. They enforced the law. They protected the public, including themselves. And we expect that from our staff. And, of course, you know, we always support our staff. And we go to great lengths to make sure that resources are available to them and everything else. It's just that some of these things that are now in place are going to just make it a little more challenging for us to do that. And I was in talking with the town administrator last week, thought it was important for you to know what's happening in the immediate future with an eye towards maybe the next session, some things that we might want to be able to weigh in on as a mayor and council to try and sway some of these things back maybe towards the municipal government as opposed to everything being driven to the county.
No, I appreciate your insight in that and the extra heads up.
Keep your post on anything else that happened.
Thank you. Anybody have any other questions for Chief?
No.
Thank you very much, Chief.
Yes, ma'am.
Next, we have the request for qualifications, advanced metering infrastructure, and the water meter system replacement.
Madam Mayor, the council, coming up from recommendation last week after the discussion to bring the public bid notice and qualifications call to council for approval before we post it. First of all, the staff report speaks specifically that this is ARPA funding, that this is an allowable use, specifically stated in the final rule. Again, we don't have the final rule, we're still working on the interim final rule. That section of the interim final rule specifically references the drinking water state revolving fund and the corresponding handbook, sections of which are attached, which again show you the tables of what can and can't be used for ARPA funds as well as the regular EPA state water revolving fund funds. So, knowing that we can spend our ARPA funds on this, the call for qualifications is attached, including the advertisement. We'll only post the advertisement in the paper and on the website and elsewhere, but we'll have the qual package available for anyone who requests it. Deadline, the proposed calendar is on page 3, so we issue the request qualifications tomorrow, assuming that it's approved by council and mayor and council tonight. Deadline for questions on the 15th of October. Qualifications are due on the 20th of October. Formal presentation, if that's mayor and council's preference, on the 1st, which is the regular meeting at 6 p.m., and then approval and selection November 15th, if everything goes according to this timeline anyway. So I don't want to get into all 16 or so pages. Some of this you've been familiar with from the previous discussions and documentation, presentation of the provided by Sue as one of the potential bidders. I want to bring your attention specifically to a couple of items. Page 10, the metering software, speaks specifically to the metering software being compatible. It's under F, subsection I, number 3, interface with the town's customer information system, which is our water billing software. So first and foremost, the metering software and data needs to reconcile with our billing, otherwise there's a problem, which is to say that the data that's being pulled from the meter doesn't translate into a bill, which doesn't translate into revenue. So that's stated pretty much as clear as could be. Customer engagement is on page 11. So there's the opportunity for customers to follow in through a web portal. Also want to bring your attention to page 13. Meter specifications speaks to the meter specification. It doesn't speak to the make and model of a meter. If you look at the score sheet on page 17, and again, this came up from a number of these qualification statements that I looked at putting this one together. It's under key technology qualifications, number 2, the AMI solution shall be meter agnostic. Fancy way of saying, doesn't matter which meter, make or model, what matters is that the meter meets the performance specs. And that, again, is going to provide some price flexibility, because if we can find a more economical meter that meets the technical standards, then what brand it is doesn't matter. So, and that's where, again, Mayor and Council makes a determination as to whether you want to go for a thing like a remote shutoff. The remote shutoff has some strengths, the remote shutoff has its weaknesses. So there's an opportunity to think about that as well. It's not a cost proposal at this point, it's qualifications. When they come in and do their one or however many firms come in and do their presentation to council, if that's council's wish, at that point then the frank discussions about cost need to happen. So this is to get the call out for qualifications, see what firms are interested and what their experiences are and how they address the key issues, and then we'll see what we get on October 20th if this timetable holds up.
You have any inkling of how many people out there would be interested in a job like this?
Two.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah. And then you never know what an engineering firm might want to step up.
Right.
I mean, there's other technical capabilities here, not necessarily with, you know, the major firms. It is a water meter replacement, after all. I mean, people do this all the time, so there are firms with this kind of qualification. They may not be particularly experienced with the technology that we're talking about, though.
So is there also a piece in here where they take the old equipment, the old water meters?
Correct.
Disposal?
Okay. Yeah. It's a replacement. It's a call for replacement.
Okay. Do you guys have any more questions for Larry? And I think the RFP was pretty thorough.
I agree.
No, I mean, I think it's a worthwhile project that we should move forward. So,
yeah.
I'll make a motion that we advertise the, was it call for qualifications? A request for qualifications?
Yes.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Larry gets bids. Okay, next we have the American Rescue Plan Act update.
Mayor and the council updates that will hopefully become less frequent, knowing that large amounts of our allocation are going to be committed. For example, I believe I presented earlier in the summer a ballpark range for the SCADA and the remote read meters to be 1,225,000. So that would be roughly 47% of our allocation. So this one project is a substantial amount of the money that's been allocated to the town. Granted payable over a number of years. And again, when it comes time to have that discussion with whatever firm is selected, 2 or 3 years should be a reasonable time to make payments on it. So hopefully these updates with the requests for expenditures will be less frequent, but still necessary when they're necessary. Just lay out in the opening two paragraphs again some procedural things. When we got our first allocation, when funds need to be spent or allocated, a reminder that this is, after all, an exercise in spending. Programs, grant programs like this are, here's a sum of money spending. Staff looked at these things as investments over time to move the organization and the town forward. But the day will come when everything that we're buying needs to be replaced at some point in the future. The water meters should be paying for themselves. Other things that we're requesting are not going to be revenue generators. So they need to be budgeted for as we get to that point. It's a spending exercise. It's not an exercise in having money available to meet our reserve obligations or fund balance or repair or replace anything that we're purchasing. So with that in mind, I've attached some of those, that staff report from earlier in the year, which just lays out a budgetary approach to making sure that our capital investments, whether those are future investments in projects or in capital equipment, continue to be funded. And the way to do that is through a formal capital improvement plan, which needs to not only look at equipment that we've already got, projects that we only need to be done, but also just take into consideration how the town revenues are going to grow, and I'll get to that momentarily, but the world of unfunded mandates continues, as Chief McDermott pointed out. We don't know what that financial obligation is going to look like at the end of September for a budget that's going to need to be adopted in June, implemented for July 1. So also looking at an inflation rate as it stands today of 5.3%. So, and not knowing if that's going to go up or down, but we need to account for it when typically inflation rate the last few years has been 2.5% or so. So all of that matters because every one of them, keep in mind, 1% of $1 million is $10,000. Doesn't sound like a lot of money, but that's where we are. So we need to keep these expenditures in mind, knowing that there's an obligation to meet the replacement or upgrade costs of anything that we're going to be purchasing. Having said all that, proposed expenditures. So Stan is bringing a relatively modest request of roughly one half of 1% of the total allocation, $13,100, to be used as follows. Utility billing printers, not to exceed $5,000 is requested. Additionally, the OWL system, which a webcast system for broadcasting public meetings, costs approximately $1,600 and is a requested expenditure so that we can continue to do remote broadcasting. And then staff's also requesting the remaining expenditure of approximately $6,500 to the use for the purchase of air purification units to be set in congregate areas of the town's buildings, which would include at least three, I'm conceiving, for this building. If the police department needs two, I would think that's appropriate. And then whatever we might need over the sewer plant for the office space area. So there's a Chevy, a Buick, and a Cadillac of everything. HIPAA filtration systems included. What I'm looking at is roughly $500 for every 1,000 square feet of area covered. So I think we can get away with what we need easily under $6,500. Again, it's a matter of how many we need. And at this point, I'm imagining six. And what I'm looking at is basically under the ballpark of $700. So we could probably get away with $4,500, $4,200 rather than the $6,000. If we can save it, we'll save it, obviously, but that's where we are as far as those modest requests are concerned. If it's mainland council's wish, I'll bring those forward as an expenditure for next meeting. Now, lost revenue calculation. Lost revenue calculation allows for ARPA funds to be used for general fund obligations. And that's a wide variety of general fund obligations. They include the purchase of capital equipment or the paving of streets or the putting on of a new roof on a building or whatever it is that might, anyone else might see fit as an expenditure. Here's how this works. I spelled out some more of it in specifics in a weekly report. So Davenport & Company, which is a financial public financial analysis firm, I contacted them, worked with them in the past elsewhere, and asked them to do our calculation for us. So here's what they do. They took the baseline, which is the last full fiscal year before the pandemic. So the last full fiscal year before the pandemic was 2019. So they took the 2019 revenues, and then they looked at the growth rate the 3 years prior. So our growth rate of revenues 3 years prior averaged out to 0.7%. So $7,000 on every million, not exactly a ton of money. But what that does do is it sets a tone for how much we can, you know, how much we can look at tapping into the ARPA funds for general fund expenditures. All right, brings us to calendar year 2020. Calendar year 2020, the town did the perfectly appropriate and smart thing of selling a lot in the industrial park. For ARPA purposes, 2019 would have been a better year to sell. Who knew? And the answer is no one. But the sale of a lot in 2020 calendar year, to the tune of $98,600, I believe it's unchanged, affected that revenue line. And that's actually under review by Davenport's legal team to see if that one-time sale of an asset, which is not going to be a consistent revenue for the next 4 years, we only sold it once, counts against us. If it does count against us as extra revenue in 2020, then we go from the $107,000, which we would be able to tap into this year, to about $8,300, the difference being at $98,000. So $8,300 is better than not having access to it. $107,000 does some substantial good. That's not specifically laid out in ARPA legislation. So that could be used towards police car purchase, that could be used towards down payment on a trash truck, that could be used for a lot of things. And we'll also need to see how 2021 calculates out, because December 31st of every year through 2024, a new going to go up regardless because we're not going to have enough sale for property. So whatever it is we wind up paying, we're going to be that $98,000 to the good. We just don't know what that is yet. In the process now of auditing the expenditures, and here we go again. We use June 30th. They use December 31st. So you've got a half audited year and a half unaudited year. So we'll be getting in the audited information November, December that they can work with for this calendar year. So from January 1 to June 30th. And then from July 1 to December 31st of this year, we're not going to have audited numbers. So we're just going to have what we book as far as revenue is concerned. We'll know better for next year, probably March or so of next year. So it there's no interest in, that's why I say a trans truck is probably a better 2022 calendar year expenditure, because we'll like to have more money that we can use. What we do, pending that legal interpretation of the value of the one-time sale in 2020, we'll see how much we've got that we can appropriate for general revenue purposes out of the current year. Whether that's going to be $83,000 or whether that's going to be $107,000. I wouldn't recommend spending it all in one place right now.
Well, my first question was that, when do you suspect we will have an answer and be able to move forward with trying to figure out what we can do with that?
I had a conference call with them last Thursday, I believe, and they're still looking into it. So.
Okay. And I just want to say this. We have a plan in place to take care of the chief's vehicles before any of this happened.
Correct.
If we come up with $107,000, I personally think we should look at something that we didn't have planned and figured out. Whereas roads may be more of an issue than, not that you don't need your vehicles, but we had that plan through Enterprise. We've had that all worked out now. Let's take something like this and look at the roads. But I just want to throw that out for everybody to think about as we move forward with, you know, that's obviously if it's 107 and not 89. Hundred, but you know,
make and it a pothole for that.
Yeah, that's why I asked you that question and clarified that email on that earlier was if it was the general fund. My ears perked right up when y'all sort of read that general fund part, and I was like, "Oh, I like that."
Right.
Yeah, so pay some bills off.
Right.
Yeah, the downside is right. You can't invest it. You can't pay off previous debt that was incurred before March of 2020. But that could also, if we're not doing roads, it could bail us out of if any of our capital projects run over.
Right.
Yes.
They're not have to go back.
And truth be said, we're probably, if we were talking roads, we're probably 6 months or better, because by the time they make up their mind, we'd probably be out of road doing business for the year anyway, so.
Well, ideally by the spring, we'll know how 2021 went.
Right.
So if we're looking at a substantial sum of money, then it becomes...
Well, we can make some plans.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you want to spend it on streets, which you can do right off the bat, or you just want to say, we can just live with going into debt for a trash truck. Go to USDA, bring in some loans, get our $50,000 grant, and then just finance the rest over 6 years. That's how we were going to pay for your trash truck before this ever happened.
Right.
So either one of them is a pocket of money to be used for two things that... frankly, everybody wants done around here. Better streets and a better trash truck. So I just put that out there by saying police cars, because you can buy them straight out.
Right. No, I understood. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So is there a council preference on bringing back that?
Oh, that was the other question I had. Utility billing printer. What is that?
Well, it's an opportunity right now to update everybody's. The way I look at it is if it touches a water bill, it's eligible. So we know Missy's printer doesn't handle the card stock.
I didn't think we printed
out. I didn't think we did either.
That's why I had the question.
We print the vacant lot bills and we print the industrial bills. All the residential, commercial, the majority, all of those go to a third-party billing. Everything else is done in-house.
Okay, that's how what many? I was like. I didn't think we printed them, but we
There's 32 industrials, and there are about 110, 120 vacant lobbies.
So you do that 4 times a year?
Yes, ma'am.
So that's 600 or so for the course of the year, and we're looking at spending $5,000 on a printer?
Not on one printer. A decent printer is going to be about $500-$600.
Okay.
Yeah, so for a color laser printer. Yeah. I'm assuming you're looking at a laser printer, not a printer.
Looking at an opportunity to update, you know, like I said, anything that touches a water bill, anything that touches any kind of utility correspondence, this is an opportunity to update that equipment. We don't have an IT, we don't have an IT calendar to change out.
Right.
So
everything we've got more than 5 years old. Up there.
Right. I'm good with you bringing all of this back.
I don't have any problems with them. And we can look at some printer options. I mean, you probably could, depending on how many you get. And is there anything needed up at the town shed?
That's what I'm anticipating as well.
Okay.
There's going to be some costs in there.
So it could be. So it might not even be. Okay. We just need a little more details on which ones would be purchased, but we can get those. Casey, can I get a motion to bring the proposed expenditures back?
I make a motion that we bring the proposed expenditures back to the next mayor and council meeting.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Anything else? All right, next we have mayor and council action items. Councilman Sewell?
I have a couple of things coming up this weekend to remind everyone about. Friday the 24th, the Lions Club will be doing a sandwich sale. And then Saturday the 25th, we are doing a movie night in conjunction with the YMCA that starts at 7:30 at the Chambers Park. And I don't really have anything else except that I wanted to acknowledge that this is Councilman Marine's last meeting with us since he's ending his career on council tonight, and commend him for a job well done and all the good that he's done for the residents of Federalsburg. And I think we would be remiss not to, like I said, not to acknowledge that. So,
thank you.
Is that it?
Yep.
All right. Councilman Phillips?
The only thing I have is, Larry, have they fixed that hole in front of your house yet?
They've not.
Can you please get somebody to fix it? It looks like they've eaten the whole road. Is it getting bigger, or am I just noticing it more because nothing's been done to it?
That.
Every time I ride by there, I just like, we have to do something.
Yes, the pavement, which was already cracked and broken, was pushed up, and probably by groundwater, because they dug it up, they looked for a leak, they found a small leak, that wasn't the issue, so it became the sandbox that we're used to, and the barrels are still there. It's only been about 3 weeks.
Really?
I feel like it's been longer than that.
I was thinking it's been there longer than that.
I would have guessed closer to 3 months than 3 weeks, I swear.
Maybe it's just shifted lots.
But, all right, I'm
in. The one down further in the block was repaired.
Okay.
There's a patch there, and there's been a patch there for a while. So I know they're out doing potholes. One thing I will say, because I think there's a lot of latitude, you're not supposed to use your general ARPA money for streets. But what was pointed out from the Municipal League presentation was if streets have been damaged because of a utility, line break, new line, laterals, what have you, you can use your ARPA money. So I'm okay with an expenditure of ARPA money for utility cut replacements, because every place where we've got crush and run, or every place where we've just been pounded in, but it's not really road surface, mm-hmm. everywhere we've got the sandboxes, should be able to use ARPA money because every one of those things is associated with a utility issue.
Now, does that have to be only on the break from the last year, or could it be?
Well, if you just go back to March of 2020,
be enough.
There's probably, well, Steve would probably know, we can get a document. Yeah. There's probably been a good dozen around town.
And also, the other, only other thing I have is the water meter at church, which I thought was fixed.
It's still leaking.
It's still leaking at 301 North Main. I pulled in last Monday night, and water was steadily running across the sidewalk still. If we could have that looked at instead of just watching the water flow down the main street.
I thought, from Eastern was supposed to come and dig that all up and find
Rotella.
I thought they just let it go long enough that the hard water from the town just sealed the pipe, but I guess that philosophy didn't work because it's still leaking.
That only worked in clogging my the shower head.
And that's all.
I don't know about that, too.
Anything else?
That's it.
Councilman Marie, did you bring your list?
I've just got one thing. A while back, when we started talking about this American Rescue money, and it was discussed about the town employees getting something because they were shut down inside here and so forth, and I think the dollar figure is like $3,000 a person. I think maybe we ought to reconsider that and, you know, just give them half of that, and I think they might be happy with better half than nothing, and I'd like to see that happen for the employees because they had a rough time during the COVID. I know you didn't get anything over on the Western Shore. I didn't get nothing where I work, but still, they had a lot going on, and I think that they should get something out of the ordeal.
I agree, and if it's not, maybe half this go around, and then if we can do another half, if
well,
we have enough left over,
seven,
right, we can give them something
now,
and then
now,
something later. Right.
$7.50 now and $7.50 later, and, you know, that's
right.
That's
at least 15. It shows appreciation, and
right,
we're making sure everything's getting taken care of.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anything else, sir?
No, but I will say it's been a pleasure being here for 8 years. There's been some good times and some bad times, but it's been a pleasure serving the community. I'm not saying that I'm dead. I'm waiting to be back somewhere, but it's been a pleasure being here with everybody. That's it.
All right. Well, I would like to second Councilman Sewell's sentiments. Thank you for all that you've done. As you said, I've mostly enjoyed all of our, we've had a lot of fun, and then there's been some challenging times in here, but I always, you know, I definitely appreciate your institutional knowledge and everything that you bring to the meetings, because there's just a lot of stuff that I don't have knowledge of that you, it's like a Rolodex you go through and you're like, oh, I remember that, and spit it out, so I'm going to truly miss that. So thank you for everything that you've done for the town and all of your help, and you know, feel free to
I'll be
send Larry your list to report a meeting or stop in, you know.
The public always has a chance to speak.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. The only other thing that I have is Colonel Richardson High School would like to have their homecoming parade on October 9th. Apparently they've already published they were allowed to do that.
And
so,
your permit?
Can I get a motion to allow Colonel Richardson to have their homecoming parade on October 9th?
That's Saturday morning?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Lineup starts at 10. It should be over by 10:45.
Yeah, it won't be long.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion that we allow them to have their homecoming parade.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes. And then you saw my email.
Yeah,
Wayne would like you to lead.
We're planning it now.
Okay.
So, yeah. I wish they would give us a little bit more of a heads.
Well, the principal let the ball drop.
Okay.
Well, it's not just that. They're under I don't know, when did they finally get approved? Sometime in the last week or something.
Yeah,
that
probably.
The county finally said.
Do it, yeah.
They hemmed and hawed, and she
was
waiting to see.
Are they still letting them have homecoming? Are they letting them have the homecoming dance?
Yes.
Because Anne Arundel County just postponed all of theirs.
They're doing
they're having it on the football field.
Last Friday, they're doing it outside on the football field.
Gotcha.
But the principal didn't even actually contact the mayor and council. It came sideways.
Yeah, the parade coordinator for the town.
Sometimes they don't realize there's a lot of moving parts to make sure that you can have a parade. Whether it's a Christmas parade or a homecoming parade, you know.
Right.
It's the same things have to happen.
Mm-hmm. It's all the same moving parts. So, okay. That's all I have. So I'll take a motion to close the meeting. To adjourn.
I make the motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. Should have had your razor soup for lunch today.
Yeah. I didn't feel like soup today.